All right, I imagine there's a lot of people that were hoping the agenda would not include debt ceiling talks by this point, but they do. We're joined now by Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for WNYC and for The Takeaway. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
What's your word for the week?
Face off.
Okay, that was a good movie, actually. And we have another Charlie
with a little comedy in all this.
Charlie with us, Charles Sennett, executive editor and co-founder of the international news website, The Global Post. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it okay if I call you Charles and then Charlie, just kind of keep everyone clear?
That'll be fine.
It works for me.
Charles,
I've been called worse.
do you have the word for the week?
Full circle.
Full circle?
Middle East, you can always fall back to that one.
All right, so let's go first to Charlie Herman.
Because we can't get enough of the debt ceiling.
Because we just can't get enough, right? Let's talk about the fact that at this point, for a long time, people have been pretty much assuming the debt ceiling will get raised one way or the other. All this political rhetoric will go by the wayside and they will raise the debt ceiling. Now there's actually people that you'll see starting to see these articles appearing in financial papers saying,
What happens if it doesn't?
Exactly.
You know, what you are seeing right now is if you look at Treasury bonds, that those rates are not really going up. And that's implying that investors still see that investing in the U.S. is a good thing. So that's one sign to look at. So that's sort of a positive sign and says that the financial institutions and investors are not necessarily thinking that we will go past this August 2nd deadline. At the same time, you know, if you look at what corporations are doing, they're not hiring. This just overall uncertainty. You know, first we had this with just funding the government. Now we have the debt ceiling. Once we get through the debt ceiling, we're going to have to fund the government again. I mean, it's sort of one cycle after another, and the uncertainty is going on for so long that even though Wall Street often likes uncertainty because that means no specific decision is being made and they can trade off of that, this has been going on for so long. I think it's why you're seeing the markets a little bit flat. We go into the beginning of earnings seasons this year, and we'll get a sense of how corporations are feeling about the economic environment, sort of shift a little bit away maybe from debt ceiling to talk about economics and business.
Well, since we're talking about economics and business, let's talk about corporate earnings that we're figuring we're going to get reports on this week. What are we expecting?
Well, what we're expecting is that we'll see profits up. They could be up by as much as 10 or 13% from a year ago.
That's a lot.
It sounds like a lot, but it's actually the smallest gain in about 2 years. So it's up, but it's not up as much as it has been during this post-recessionary period. So a lot of worries there. This week, we'll start getting a lot of the bank reports as well, how they're doing. And there's a general sense that they're actually going to start seeing some of their profits decline for a whole host of reasons, including regulation and just they're not lending as much and not making as much money on the trading that they do. So you could actually, even with profits, you may hear about Wall Street laying off more people.
Oh no, we're only making 10 to 13% profits. Whatever will we do? All right, so let's leave the land of finance for just a moment and go to the Middle East. Let's start from Egypt, because Charles Sennett of the Global Post, you just returned from Egypt, and we're starting to see some really massive protests there again. What is going on?
Well, that's why I say it's full circle is a word for this week. You know, what's happening in Egypt, from what we could see on the street, is they're coming back to the original grievances, which is this corrupt and very brutal police force. And the problem now that we were hearing on the street is there's been no justice. You know, 840 people were killed in the demonstrations, and none of the police have been brought to justice for it. In fact, many have been acquitted. Cases are collapsing. Mubarak has not been put on trial. And there's a mounting frustration that things are the same, that the problems that ignited this revolution and I think really got the Arab Spring going haven't been changed, and there's a great deal of frustration with that as we approach the elections. Although no firm date's been set, they're scheduled tentatively for September.
But, I mean, do you think that there's a will among the Egyptian people to actually go back to those days and days of protests if they don't get the kind of change that they're looking for?
I think there's a will among some young people who have a lot at stake. You know, what we see across the Middle East, whether it's in Syria or in Yemen or in Egypt or Israel-Palestine, is a huge population of Arab youth with no future. And they're not going to give up anytime soon. And I think, yes, I think we will continue to see demonstrations, perhaps not on the level or the intensity that we saw that really toppled Mubarak in February. But the anger is there and the yearning for change is there. And I think this is one for the U.S. administration, for the Obama administration, to really keep its ear to the ground. It's going to have to play a role there in pushing this country toward reform, pushing the military, you know, which is a institution that's respected in Egypt. and pushing the military to have the leadership to be sure that there is some sense of justice and some true reform of that incredibly corrupt, brutal police force that the Egyptian people have just grown tired of.
But speaking of, you also traveled to Saudi Arabia. That is where Yemen's president, injured president, now is. And that's also where we understand there is a meeting between Ali Saleh and an envoy from President Obama. Any news on what exactly they discussed?
Well, I would say if the word of the week is full circle, it would not include a return flight for Saleh. It looks like he's definitely not going to be going back. I mean, that's what the United States would like to happen. It's interesting that they're attaching aid to this, too. So sort of using aid as leverage, as we've seen this morning in Pakistan. You know, that's what they're doing also in Yemen. And they're saying if aid is going to continue to flow, we're going to have some kind of a deal here in which it's recognized that Saleh will not be returning. So one place that's watching all of this very carefully is Saudi Arabia. Yeah. We had meetings with different palace officials who talked about the grave concerns they have for Yemen if it does, in fact, go toward a sort of failed state, collapsing state. Because al-Qaeda does have a strong presence there.
Right. All right. Let's go back to finances here real quick, because Fed Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke is expected to speak sometime this week, Charlie. And the one thing that people have said is, yes, the unemployment rate report was bad, but that also means interest rates aren't going up. Is that true?
And that's expectation. He'll give his semiannual testimony to Congress about the state of the economy. And it's expected he'll talk about all these headwinds that we're facing, especially about unemployment. But there probably won't be a new Federal Reserve program to pump up the economy, and they'll probably keep interest rates where they're at.
Okay, so that's reasonably good news?
They're not going to change that interest rate until the economy really keeps going along.
It's bad news.
Well, it's sort of the situation where the Fed's done what it can do. Now it's time for Congress and the White House to step up and do what it can do with fiscal policy to try and get the economy going.
And businesses to start hiring.
And business needs to start hiring, exactly. And we'll get a sense of how well they're feeling about things this week
when the corporate earnings reports come out. Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for WNYC and The Takeaway, and Charles Sennett, executive editor and co-founder of the international news website Global Post. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's your agenda.